This is Generation Swap. While the world talks about a generation gap,
we talk about generational connection. Our guests, we call them swap mates, discuss goals, passions, and values, helping each other figure out life.
Keep listening for more. Hello and welcome. I'm Gary Eberle, Professor Emeritus of English at Aquinas College, and I'm your host today for this podcast featuring swap mates Eileen Chamberlain and Savannah Hammock. Generation Swap is an intergenerational learning program at Aquinas College in which we pair traditional-aged Aquinas College students with students from the college's Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, or OLLI. OLLI students are aged 55 and older, with an average age of 73, and the younger students are generally ages 20 to 22. This year, we've been exploring how relationships can develop between and across generations. Each month, all of our SwapMate participants would meet as a larger group to discuss general topics of interest, and then each set of partners would also meet at least once between these group meetings to talk about or do anything they pleased. We hoped to learn some things in the process about communication, relationships, and especially about relationships between generations. Today, we'll hear from Eileen and Savannah, who've been meeting together for the past several months, both individually and with our whole group of swap mates. So Savannah and Eileen, welcome.
Thank you.
Could you begin by telling us a little bit about yourselves, including your age?
Yeah, so I'm Savannah. I'm 20 years old. And a little bit about me is here at Aquinas, I study sociology and also minoring in women and gender studies. And what I want to do after this is go on to graduate school to get my master's in social work. And a little bit about me is I like to bike outside and I love the spring the most. It's my favorite season. And I love to spend time with my family and friends and my cats that I love so dearly.
Oh, good. And Eileen?
Yes, hi. Well, let me see. I'm 69. I'll be 70 in August. Hard to believe.
It's only a number.
It's only a number. Yeah. And I'm married. I have two daughters in their 20s, both doing very well. And let me see. We've got three dogs, which is a lot, but it's a lot of fun. And currently, well, I am a social worker and therapist. I'm still working. Mostly, all out of my home. And I did come to that late in life. I didn't go back to school until I think I was 53 to get my master's of social work here in Grand Rapids. Prior to that, I've been a development manager and executive director of foundations. And then I have a big cooking background as well for about 10 years.
Okay, last fall we began our Get to Know You experiment with some icebreakers where we all met each other for the first time, but your story was a little bit different. You and Eileen, Savannah, got paired together after the experiment had already gotten going, and we matched you with a new partner. You care to talk about that a little bit, and if not, and also what your first impression of Eileen was?
So I realized that the partner that I originally had, we didn't really match, I guess, on the same, like, things and not, like, values, but, like, we just didn't really click, I guess. And so when I first met Eileen, she was just full of energy and so bright, I would say, and just so nice. And it was, like, when we first started talking, we really connected really well, and that's what I would say is like the first impression of Eileen. She was just a very welcoming and really open person.
Yeah, and one of our purposes in this experiment, as I mentioned a minute ago, was finding out about relationships, about building relationships, about the fact that we have different personality styles, different interests, and not every relationship works. And so I'm glad that came to your and our attention, and we had a wonderful backup in Eileen. And what was your first impression of Savannah?
Well, first of all, I was very excited to be matched because I was a little sad that I wasn't matched. But I knew that we had more adult learners than students, and so that was, you know, understandable. We did hit it off right away. I think our first meeting was at the Moose.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The Moose Jaw?
The Moose Cafe.
The Moose. Okay. The Moose Cafe. And yeah, we just talked and talked and talked and found out that we had a lot in common. But I would echo, Savannah just is bright and light and one of the most caring people I have met, caring for others. And and she was very vulnerable that first meeting. So we I think, connected on a deeper level pretty much right away.
Well, that's great. And I know, Savannah, you've talked in our group meetings about your work with cats. Is that correct?
I volunteer at a cat shelter at home, and I clean their litter boxes, and I also like sweep around, and I just play with them too, because not many people go in there to just be with them, and they need lots of volunteer help there, so I try to whenever I can. It's really beneficial for me too, because I just love being around cats. So.
Yeah, good. And Eileen's a dog person. I hope that wasn't an impediment.
I love dogs too. I really love dogs. I'm actually starting to like dogs a little more, because during my childhood, I didn't really not like dogs, but like dogs would like bite me and stuff. So I was afraid as a kid. Mm. But then I grew older and I realized that not all dogs are bad. And so, yeah.
Yeah, good. And Eileen, you came to what eventually became your profession in social work late, mm-hmm. and Savannah is coming to it early. So what were you able to share with each other about that area of work and career?
I would say I learned a lot more about the values that you have to have, like, going into social work. Like, not everyone, you know, is like, like, everybody is going through something, and not everybody's, like, a bad person. Like, she said, like, just, like, see the good in people, and no matter what.
She's working in addiction.
Yeah.
Or with addicted clients, patients. And is that an area that would attract you, or you just wanted to find out about it?
I was thinking about it because a lot of my family went through addiction, and I want to help people like that, because my family's also low income. So I was thinking of going into that field of helping women and mothers who are low income. And I was thinking of the counselor field, but I'm not really sure exactly where I want to go. But I do see that a lot with my own community and how hard it is for people in my town that struggle with addiction.
And I would bet when you're in a master's program that you'll find areas of expertise you don't even know about yet. I mean, that typically happens. And so maybe social work with pets. I know someone who's a cat dentist.
Oh.
That's her specialty. Well, were you attracted to addiction work or addicted clients as your vocation here, Eileen?
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely, because we, again, family history of addiction. Mm-hmm. So yes, I went into it, I was actually on the board of a local to Grand Rapids women's residential treatment program for many, many years, and I said to the executive director, I really want to help the women, you know, directly. She said, go get a master's of social work. I said, okay.
And you did.
And okay. I did. Well, it turns out all my friends are social workers. And I, you know, when I started to think about that, it's like, okay, there's something about them that I'm really attracted to. Yeah. And so, yes, I went in to school knowing that that's what I wanted to do. What I found is just about every class I took, it's like, oh, I really want to work with that. I mean, geriatric and medical. I had no idea I was really drawn to medical social work. And my internship combined addiction and medically assisted treatment program. And then I went and I worked at a treatment center until I retired from being employed by somebody. And now, yes, I work with almost exclusively health professionals through a program at the state of Michigan called the Health Professional Recovery Program, where they're monitored for, well, mostly due to substance use disorder, but they're allowed to work while they're being monitored.
Oh, I see. Well, wow, that's really a subspecialty then, mm-hmm, but an mm-hmm, important one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I hope you two had a chance to talk about these things in your private meetings. What other subjects came up?
Well, I'll say that, first off, Savannah has, I think, 3 jobs. And
wow.
How many committees are you on?
I'm in a couple clubs on campus,
yeah.
Women's Health and Safety, and also Board Game Club. I just recently got an internship for next year for the Women and Genders Study Center on campus.
Good.
So I'm very excited to start that journey next year and help more women on campus.
Well, I'll just interject that,
yes.
Your major and the classes that you've been taking and the clubs that you belong to, I think we have spent a lot of time talking about diversity, social justice issues,
yeah.
On a personal level as well as on a, you know, a macro level.
Yeah.
And that's where I really feel your, well, I mean, I know you love cats and everything, but your caring really comes out in how you, you know, just want to be a part of the solution. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And at such a young age, I mean, when I was a sophomore in college, I was just thinking about me.
Well, and you had a first career or careers also then before you turned to social work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somewhere along the way, in addition to working with a lot of MSWs, you must have had an inkling that this was a human services area you wanted to go into. Huh?
Mm, yeah, I was tired of working, what would I say, a materialistic service for people. And then I was always at a board level or executive director level or development level that I just wasn't working with people. You know, I mean, I know I was helping people, but I wanted to be more one-on-one. And that's what being a therapist has allowed me to do.
Yeah, and fundraising and board work, you're really at a one remove at least from direct service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And very important service work, but I had done my time.
Okay. I understand. I understand.
And to go along with like what we were talking about too, with like social justice, there was something that I took valuable as well as an app that Eileen told me about. It's called The 5 Calls. And I've been using that to call my state representatives to talk about the things that I care about, like LGBTQ plus rights and the unhoused and immigration rights as well, because that's very crucial right now in this country.
Yes, and one of the topics we talked about as a large group, I don't know if you were both there, but was community engagement.
Yes.
And what does that mean and what forms does it take? How can you take practical steps to do exactly what you're talking about? Because it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
That the calls that legislators get are logged and your voice is heard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wonderful. Mm. Yeah. And focused activity. You enjoy being engaged at that level?
I do enjoy being engaged because I feel like my voice is being put to use and I'm fighting for other people who can't have a voice and who need someone to stand up for them, because a lot of people right now are being oppressed by what the administration is doing. And those who can stand up need to stand up and do, you know, what's right.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And certainly over the next coming years, everybody will need to be engaged in our political process, in our discussion, not just voting, but doing what you're doing, becoming part of the public conversation and engaging that way.
Yeah, and I find that us working with you guys in the generational swap, it's very valuable because we can see each other's values that we have in life and come together as a community, because I feel like that if we come together more And instead of like be against each other, then we can solve this problem.
Well, that was one of our goals, of course, was to get us out of what is sometimes called silos. You know, we're in our own little tube here, not talking across those silos. Mm-hmm. And one of the silos we're trying to get out of is age. And by bringing together people of different life experience over sometimes 50 or more years different of life experience, it's not just a one-way transaction from old to young, but we want it to be a real dialogue. Mm-hmm. And it's nice, to my mind, the way your interests and your abilities and your academic interests are all sort of bundling together in a nice way. What did you learn about each other's generations?
I learned that there's a lot more that you still can learn and do as you get older. Like you don't stop living. You continue to keep doing what you love. And like Eileen said that her and her friends, they walk like, was it like every week or so in Meyer Gardens. And she, you know, still is a part of community and still, you know, actively being there with her friends. And I find that like hopeful, because that when I get older that I will still be, you know, lively and with community and with people.
And open to change.
Yeah, and open to change, yeah. Too.
That I think sometimes, you know, having been a teacher for 40-plus years, we get the idea that we finish our undergrad degree, get a job in that field, and then we're done.
Right.
But not at all. I mean, that's just the beginning. And if you're learning now that you can be responsive to change and responsive to new areas of growth for you, that's going to be tremendous in your chosen field as well. What did you learn, Eileen, about Savannah's generations?
Well, specifically for Savannah, which I think does represent a generation, is her willingness to take action, which is just so fabulous. I'll mention something to her about, oh, you know, I know somebody who does this. And she goes, oh, I really want to do that. Can I do that? And sometimes I feel like I maybe have pulled you back a little bit. Well, you know, you need to be here consistently and, you know, whatever, like taking care of the cats on campus. Like, I have friends, two friends who go and feed them and take care of them.
Oh, we have outdoor cats, wild cats.
Feral cats.
Yeah, feral
cats. But they've done it in a way where they're now neutered or, you know, in whatever, and taken care of in clean housing so they're not spreading, you know, any disease among them. But anyway, so that Savannah is just like, yes, I want to do that. And then when I took Savannah to Meyer Gardens, I don't think I could have taken anybody who would have enjoyed it as much as you enjoyed it. And I love that. And so again, a generational thing of being able to express enjoyment and just, well, when I say something as simple as butterflies, you know, it doesn't have to be this deep whatever, it's just expressing herself. And I love that.
And you two went together to see the butterflies this spring?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love butterflies.
And it was your first time?
It was my first time. Yeah. I was just amazed. It felt like I was like in a fairy tale.
It's an amazing asset for West Michigan and increasingly the whole region. And the butterflies especially are attraction every April. They break records. They break records each year. Okay. If you two were going to talk to next year's Aquinas students and Ali students about participating in Generation Swap, how would you sell it? What would you tell them?
I would say that it's a really good and growing experience, because you can learn different experiences from each other and what you can take away from life, and it can really, you know, make you grow as a person too and learn more about each other and not be so closed off of like the other generation and really engage in community. It's really beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Eileen, how would you sell this program to other Ali students?
Oh, I echo what you said. I mean, you know, just having that opportunity to, you know, meet somebody and then go out and, you know, we've had a couple of meals together and we've just done a few things together. We didn't have quite as much time as the other ones did, the other swap mates, I guess. But, you know, it took me out a little bit, because I would not have gone to the butterflies this year if it weren't for you. And oh, she wow. actually took me, so to speak, to Taco Bell. I don't think I've ever been to Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell.
And we just had this great time at Taco Bell. And the Moose, you know, I haven't been there. So she took me to areas or places that I, you know, either would not have gone to. And, yeah, and then just learning about, well, of course, not just the struggles, but the difficulties it can be to be a student who is juggling academic, 3 jobs, family issues, life issues, you know, issues of the heart. You know, it was really just wonderful to be walking beside you and not telling you what to do. I mean, there was no expectation of me giving advice or anything, right? But just being here to listen and share. Yeah, it's great.
So sort of, I mean, not sort of, I guess it was the beginnings, at least, of a friendship where the age gap ceased to mean much as you talked and got to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that one of the byproducts of that's going to be that you don't hesitate then to reach out to other people because, well, she's young or she's old or whatever. We're different, too different to talk. And now you've, I think, realized that if you open the door to other people, then intimacy can follow.
Yeah.
At some level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I've really enjoyed the group sessions as well when we've gotten together and have had some focused topics. My favorite was the, you know, the speed dating of...
Everybody liked that one. Yeah, that was
talking
fun.
About our backgrounds with work, but with specific questions. That was a lot of fun. I thought that was a great way because I got to meet all of the students. And otherwise, they were just, you know, names and faces. So yeah.
So they did a kind of round robin, and everybody eventually met everybody.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was no pressure. It wasn't like real speed dating when there was some kind of pressure on, but it was like, let's open the door. Yeah. Let's talk to each other.
Absolutely.
Well, good. We certainly will do this again next year. If you can recommend it to anybody, that would be wonderful. And thank you both so much for participating this year, Savannah and Eileen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Generation Swap is a production of the Aquinas College Advantage Center. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts or at generationswap.com. Our career and connections expert is Dr. Dana Hebriard. Our producer is John Griffin. I'm Cindy Camp, Generation Swap creator. Thank you for spending time with us today. We're looking forward to swapping stories with you again soon.